Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. This week, very unusual. We've prevailed on him to come back a second week in a row. We almost never do that. Ken Lovett of the New York Daily News. Nobody knows the beat better than Ken Lovett does. Thank you, Ken, for being here.
Oh, no problem. Thank you.
Okay, so how much coattail do we think a Clinton versus Trump election will bring in terms of political change in New York State?
Boy, that's the big question, isn't it? And the coattails are going to depend on what part of the state you're talking about. The issue is going to be whether or not, so that we have some upstate congressional races. We have one where Assemblywoman Claudia Tenney is the Republican against a Democrat, Kim Myers, and an independent,
and where is
Martin
that?
Babinick. That goes from Binghamton to Utica. It's a big, big district. I think it's the 22nd. Don't hold me on the number.
And
that,
these districts, pardon me, but these districts were set up by a federal judge, weren't they? This was not the usual nonsense where the legislature draws their own districts.
Right, right. And, well, the legislature draws, a federal judge signs off and does it, yeah. And in this case, Trump is doing well in that district, or has been, you know, throughout. I think Democrats were feeling very comfortable. You know, for the biggest fight in New York is going to be the state Senate, for control of the state Senate. The most races now in play are in Nassau County on Long Island. And I think the Democrats up until a few days ago were feeling really confident that they were going to take a bunch of them. They'll still tell you they feel confident, but certainly the latest news with Hillary Clinton and the reopening of the investigation by the FBI has them worried that there could be an impact there. And if there is an impact, if you see that help Trump on Long Island, that's going to hurt the Democrats. It's going to help the Republicans, and the Republicans could retain the Senate as a result.
Now, Ken Lovett of the Daily News, your beat is, of course, state government. And there are those of us who believe, I've taught it for years and all the rest of it, that people just don't know about state government. They don't care about state government. So that when you get a presidential election, you get a huge turnout. 2 years from now, you won't have a presidential election. You get a much lower turnout. Can you explain how come people know so little about state government?
I think people know about federal government just because the president, Congress, they pay more attention to it. Maybe they pay attention, depends on what part of the state, to their local government. I think upstate in particular pays a lot of attention to local government, less so downstate in Long Island and such. But certainly the state government is kind of in the middle of it, and I just don't think people get it.
Is it laziness?
I don't know if it's laziness. They've got their own lives going on. They're, you know, raising kids or working or got two jobs, and they're just not paying attention. I think part of it, too, is they've become so turned off by so many of the scandals in recent years that their attitude is, yeah, they're all crooked, and I'm just not going to pay attention to it.
But
which
always
is why voter turnout drops so much.
But they've always had that attitude about state government. I mean, I can't tell you how many classes I've taught and say, what do your parents say about state government? Mm-hmm. They say, they're all a bunch of crooks.
Well, I grew up on Long Island, and I've lived upstate now all of my adult life, basically. And I have found...
Still a very young man.
50, not too young. But I have found that upstate, they do pay more attention. Upstate, if you ask a lot of people who their state senator or assemblyman is, a lot of them will know. Whereas in Long Island, very few would have known.
And that's maybe TV and stuff. Somebody once said to me that in order to know who your assemblyman is in New York City, and for them to get on television, they have to ride naked ablaze on top of an elephant for anybody to know who they are.
Yeah, it's probably not too bad of an assessment, frankly. But it is true. And upstate, they know it. So I think there's a disconnect,
sure,
though, overall with the legislature, the state legislature and state politics, which is why you'll see, like, the scandals hit Mayor de Blasio in New York City, and his numbers go down dramatically. And yet, you know, a lot of scandals surrounding Governor Cuomo, and his numbers went down a point. So
yeah.
I think just people aren't as focused on it.
Well, as long as you raise Governor Cuomo, let's go there. There is still a huge rumor mill around New York, and what will Preet Bharara do next? Now, we see that the Justice Department and the FBI, that the FBI and Mr. Comey have gotten involved in this election in a big way. breaking all kinds of precedent with the Clinton emails and the rest. But Preet-Bharara has been pretty quiet.
I mean, he other than, you know, arresting nine people who are associates of the governor. Not a week before the election. I think there has been, prosecutors have typically held to, you know, not wanting to look like they're influencing, whether they are or not, or there's just an appearance of influencing an election. Typically, they try to stay away from that. In this case, you know, the governor's really not facing election until 2018, I think. Bharara is just moving forward with what he's looking at regarding the governor's office, what he's looking at regarding the city of New York mayor's office, and when he has stuff, he's going to bring it forward. Obviously, at this point, he doesn't. The last we heard was that Joe Prococo, the governor's former top aide, who was charged with...
The best friend and an honorary brother.
Right, and others who were supposed to be in court about a week or two ago, there was a one-month extension given by the judge for, quote-unquote, settlement talks. That raised people's suspicions. Is Prococo and Todd Howe, who, although Todd Howe already pleaded guilty, are people, you know, basically turning on the governor, assuming, of course, there's something to turn on. Prococo's lawyer immediately put out a statement saying, we have had no settlement talks. There's been nothing like that going on. So, you know, I don't think it's uncommon for these things to be delayed like that so the prosecutors could try and get a settlement, get a plea deal. But as of right now, there's nothing to it.
So look, Cuomo's numbers, as you mentioned, his poll numbers are not that bad. They're pretty good, although they are down significantly from where they once were. But now, look, in the Bridgegate trial with Chris Christie as the sort of main topic of interest, what did he know? There were also allegations that Cuomo knew all about this thing, too, and that there were discussions about this, and he had told his people to stand down and not to cause trouble. And then at the same time, you mentioned this huge scandal where his best friend and knee brother has been charged. And so these trials are going to be very big business once the presidential election is over.
Oh, certainly. I think the Bridgegate trial for the governor is more of an annoyance. It's certainly an embarrassment. What it did was it showed that he misled the public, the press, by saying he never knew about what happened or the lane closures until it became public in the press. At the very least, we know he had a call about it with the governor of New Jersey, Chris Christie. Supposedly, Christie called him and said, hey, keep Pat Foy, who was Cuomo's executive director on the Port Authority, basically shut him up about Bridgegate. There's no indication that Cuomo knew in advance of what was happening or was involved in it. So unless something like that came up, this is more of an annoyance and it's an embarrassment. But most people haven't paid attention because of the presidential. But I agree, the trials and what may or may not come out of it of the nine people who were charged hit with federal charges, and then two, one being crossover, were hit with state charges. Those trials could really hurt the governor, depending again what came out. You know, I've said it a million times on this show. Preet-Bharara has now gotten and charged the people who are closest to Andrew Cuomo. That if you were going to get something on the governor, these are the people who would know it. But that is assuming, and it's a big assumption, that there is anything to get the governor on. That's assuming the governor did anything improper. If he did, these are the people who would know, and if they flipped, could do serious damage. But we don't have any indication right now that there's anything to flip on.
Yeah, and in fact, Preet-Bharara himself has said there's no indication that the governor is, you didn't see the governor's name on
in this case. You know, he left that open. There was a very, very, wily answer by a prosecutor. He says the governor is not mentioned in these charges, which leaves open the possibility that he could be in subsequent charges. But to date, we haven't seen that. And the time is running on Preet-Bharara. Let's not forget that. In all likelihood, sometime early next year, there probably will be a new U.S. attorney.
Why in hell would that be the case? Here's this guy who has done all this incredible work, and including, I believe I've heard rumors that he was looking into the Clinton Foundation. So he's done all of this incredible work. Why in hell would anybody not reappoint this crime-busting guy who's putting everybody in jail properly?
So are you saying that a President Clinton, assuming she wins, or if she wins, are you saying that she would reappoint someone who's looking into the Clinton Foundation and whose investigation into Anthony Weiner basically created the latest scandal, which was what Comey has just revealed, that there may have been emails, questionable emails on Anthony Weiner's computer. The only reason that came up was because Preparara and the FBI had subpoenaed that computer. So he doesn't have a big fan in Hillary Clinton. And don't forget, I asked her directly, and this was months ago, this was during the primary, I asked her directly whether she would reappoint him and what she thinks of the job he's doing. She didn't say what she thinks of his job and wouldn't commit to reappointing him.
Well, of course, as all of us who have taught political science, and you, of course, know, it isn't really Hillary who makes this decision. It's Chuck Schumer. The senior United States senator is the same party as the president gets to make the appointment. And Chuck Schumer, too, when asked, your excellent reportage aside, when asked the same question, said it's too early to tell. A little deference to Hillary Clinton. But if he decides he wants Preet reappointed, Preet gets reappointed.
But I don't know if he'll go to bat for it. Look, it goes two ways. You know, Chuck Schumer is going to be, by all indications, the Democratic leader, whether that's majority leader or minority leader, we don't know yet, but he's going to be the Democratic leader. Will he want to go to war with the new president over this? And then you could ask the flip side. Will the new president want to go to war if it's really that important to him? My guess is he would acquiesce to the president. If she said, this is not the guy I want, Schumer would find someone new. That would be my guess.
I hardly ever disagree with you. But let me just say, I'm a big Chuck Schumer fan, and he's got guts where nobody else dares to walk. And I think if he wants Barrera, who, after all, comes right out of his office, that's how he got appointed in the first place, I think Hillary would be remiss, especially if Chuck Schumer turns out to be the new majority leader, head man of the New York, of the United States Senate.
I disagree. I think that this is going to be an issue. I think the fact that he hasn't gone full bore for him right now, he's leaving the option open. And look, ultimately, it's the senator that makes a recommendation, but it's the president who makes the appointment. And let's not forget, Bill Clinton basically cleared out the Justice Department when he took over office.
Let's go to another place, if we can, Kim. Well, let's talk about early voting. Now, I live in Massachusetts, a good state, and I early voted. You know, it was wonderful. I got it out of the way. I can be on the radio during that time. Everybody else. And there's a lot of early voting going on. Now, somebody wrote to me and said, ask Ken Lovett the following question. Why can't we have early voting in New York State?
We can't even agree on a primary date for congressional state races and president. You know, we had three primaries this year. They couldn't even agree on that. Republicans don't want early voting. And, you know, they now have an argument to make. You could argue that given what we learned in the last week about the reopening of the FBI investigation into Hillary Clinton, maybe people who started voting early would have wanted that information before voting. Now, obviously, on the other side, sure, it encourages more people to vote. It gives them more time to do it. But people are certainly going to use that as an excuse to block it here in New York.
Except a couple of things. First of all, several states say you can take your vote back and change it. And so, you know, early voting, the states get to decide what the rules are going to be. And I mean, several states have that rule. Doubtful that a lot of people will go and do it, but some might. Then, in addition, I just want you to know how little respect I have for the New York State Legislature and the fact that we should have a lot of things. We should have initiative and referendum, which they do in New York City and works quite well. In other words, you put a ballot proposition on term limits, for example. Mm-hmm. That's never going to happen in the New York State Legislature. Right. That's just what they want to do. They got here under, and that includes the Democrats. They got here under the old rules, and they're going to stay with those old rules, right?
I agree. And I would say early voting may have a better shot, and I don't want to influence any election if this is a key issue for you, but theoretically, if the Democrats are in charge of the Senate next year, potentially it would have a better shot. But you don't even hear really them talk about that. I think one of the big issues the Democrats are talking about are, you know, campaign finance reform, including, you know, public financing of elections, that kind of stuff. You haven't heard them talk much about early voting in New York.
Something is going on in the 19th Congressional District. Now, there you have one of the archetype races of all times. You have Zephyr Teachout, who almost deprived Cuomo of the nomination when she ran against him in a Democratic primary and with no resources, almost won. And then you have, on the other hand, John Faso, who, as a Republican, has always been, you know, a Republican, taking the Republican line. And if it was not a Hillary year in New York State, one would assume Faso might have won.
And he still could win, yes. But the latest poll, it's very close. The latest poll that came out showed Teach out ahead at by 3 points, which...
Yeah, which is nothing.
Which is nothing, and which was, you know, it's been tight the whole time.
Yeah.
He's trying to portray her as, you know, a carpetbagger, not from the district, lived in Vermont, lived in Brooklyn, now comes up here to run for Congress. She's portraying him as someone who's part of the status quo, you know, a longtime lawmaker and a lobbyist, a former lobbyist, and it's been an ugly... You can't turn on the TV without seeing ads for this race, and it's going to be interesting. This is where maybe coattails could come in play, which you asked me about earlier, in terms of which candidate pulls out more of its supporters. You know, certainly the Trump supporters are more passionate this year to get out, whether there's enough of them to kind of flip the standard practice of that, you know, Democrats come out much more in a presidential race. We'll see. But certainly Trump could have an impact, as I said, in certain races, this being one of them.
Let me go to your role as a ace reporter. You really are the best that is in the Legislative Correspondents Association. But what about news? Is news of the legislature being covered the way that it used to be? Or is my impression correct that because newspapers are trying to save some money, that there are fewer people covering the news?
I don't think there's fewer people. I think it's a different organization. So there are far fewer newspapers covering the state capitol than when I got here. I got here in 1994. And I think there's something like 7 fewer newspapers that are actually covering. That includes, you know, the Troy Record, the Schenectady Gazette. Those are local papers. The Watertown Times, you know, all these different papers are no longer there. I used to work for Ottawa News Service. That's defunct. That's not, you know, forget covering.
When you say no longer there, you mean that they're
not covering the Capitol anymore.
Yes.
And then Ottawa is gone altogether. So there's 7 of those that are no longer Staten Island Advance. But then they've been replaced by a lot more of the online. So you have Politico New York, which has 6 people covering it, 5 or 6 people. You have City and State, you know, so it's kind of, and others, you have more online entities covering Albany, but less daily newspapers covering Albany.
So let's assume for a moment, that the Democrats take the state Senate. Because of the Hillary year and all the rest of it. And let's assume that the independent caucus where the Democrats come over and caucus with the Democrats this time. There's an allegation that since de Blasio, the mayor of New York, has tried very hard to get Democrats elected into the state Senate, and in fact, it's caused a lot of chaos with Cuomo and others. Let's assume that that happens. Will de Blasio be calling the shots in the state Senate?
I don't know if it's fair to say he'll be calling the shots. Certainly he's worked for them. You know, if he has this year, it's been more behind the scenes. He's not out there at all because he knew it blew up in his face 2 years ago. Plus, he's being investigated for his involvement from 2 years ago. But he will have a better chance, whether he's calling the shots or not, his agenda will have a better shot because it's a Democratic agenda. So already you're seeing things like the governor's talking about a lot of that stuff to the same stuff. So, you know, ethics reform, public financing of campaigns, closing of the LLC loophole, you know, more money for public schools, I'm sure will be. There's going to just be a lot more stuff that he will have the options there, whereas the Republicans went out of their way of late, and as is the governor, to slam the door shut on a lot of that. You know, mayoral control, he's been getting 1-year extensions. I'm sure that'll be a different situation if the Democrats take charge.
Right. So Cuomo, the governor, has been talking about an upstate nuclear bailout, giving money to some of the firms that run these places. So what's that all about?
It's a complicated thing. So the governor, there are 3 nuclear plants upstate, and not including the one in Westchester County, which isn't really considered upstate by a lot of people, and the governor wants to shut down. But there's 3 upstate, Oswego County and such, and 2 of them, they're all aging. One of them is owned by Entergy, which was going to close it. The governor cut a deal for the owner of the other 2 nuclear plants, Exelon, to purchase the 3rd one. which is in the process now. In addition, there is a major subsidy that Exelon would get, basically $7 billion worth, I think, over a couple of years, over a number of years. And what this would do is they would keep it open, they would keep jobs, which is big, the governor says. And the governor's argument is as well that it would help toward his goal of 50% of zero emission renewable energy by 2030. And he says the nuclear stuff is a bridge to reaching that goal, that, you know, it doesn't have a carbon footprint, that it's a much cleaner energy, and thus it's important
to keep... Yeah, we don't have to talk about things like Fukushima or any of those places.
And so it's important to keep it open, he says. But as part of this bailout, basically the utilities, especially downstate, say Con Edison in New York City and Westchester, are going to be hit with higher rates. And so consumers are going to be footing the bill for this nuclear, upstate nuclear bailout, even though they're not profiting from the energy that's being produced. So there's a lot of opposition to it, and there's a whole group of organizations that are trying to kill this deal.
Now it comes time to put you on the spot, Ken Lovett. Nobody is closer to New York State politics than you are. So I'm going to ask you for your insights into the way in which this election is going to go. So I'm going to ask you specific questions, and I hope that you find it in your heart to answer. The first of them is, who takes the New York State Senate? Do the Democrats finally crack that, or will the Republicans maintain one way or the other their control?
See, it's never a yes or no answer, because I think the Democrats...
There must be a yes or no.
No, I think the Democrats will pick up enough seats. They'll pick up a couple... All they need is one or two seats, a net gain, and they theoretically have control. But then the question is going to be, does the Independent Democratic Conference, which has basically, you know, aligned itself with the Republicans since 2011, do they then strike a leadership deal with the Democrats? My guess is this time around they will, because the governor is on board this time.
Well, the governor, I'm so sorry to correct you, is allegedly on board. This is a guy who for years has said one thing, but
yes, but he's certainly doing a lot more than we've ever seen him do. He's campaigning for specific candidates. He's running. He's raising money for them. He raised money for the Senate Democrats as a whole.
Why is he doing that? Because he's afraid that the Zephyr Teachout effort, which showed him to be so weak, particularly upstate, because he was basically a traitor to the Democrats, right?
So that's without using the word traitor to the Democrats, yeah, he's worried about 2018. He's worried about a primary challenge. That's all part of it. Interestingly enough, I had a column this past Monday, that if you're a Democrat, a legislative Democrat who wants his endorsement, you had to fill out a questionnaire of 15 issues. And I've heard, like, if you're an environmental group and you send out a questionnaire to candidates and say, where are you on these environmental issues? But I spoke to members of administrations from the past three administrations, and none of them had ever heard of a governor asking people of his party to fill out a questionnaire.
George Pataki would not have sent Republican Senate candidates a questionnaire.
Right, and Spitzer didn't do it, and neither did Patterson.
Yeah,
so it was very interesting way. And as I've said to you before, and I've said to others, the mere fact that we're sitting here talking about it as news that the governor is working for a Democratic takeover is kind of amusing as well, because in what other state would you find it more than worth a paragraph that a governor is helping his party try to capture control of a chamber?
Exactly. Well, it's great to have Ken Lovett with us. Our guest has been columnist and Albany bureau chief for the New York Daily News, Ken Lovett. We're officially, in your honor, renaming the show the Ken Lovett Show. Ken, thanks so much for joining us. You are terrific, and we will continue to read your column every Monday, the Daily News, and your other contributions, and everything that you do that is so insightful. Thanks again.
Thank you. Be well.
Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.